Good morning. Today I'm going to be able to stand out in front here. As many of you know, I've been on medication and that has put me off balance, and I was half here, but now I'm able to not only stand straight, but if you would forgive me, I could do a little dance for you too up here. But not today, not today. I want you to stay here for a good message later on. Well, it's been 2 years since the World Health Organization classified or declared COVID-19 as a pandemic. And we are on, hopefully, on the other side of this pandemic. Taking a look at the numbers from the St. Louis County, about a fourth of the residents of St. Louis County people have had COVID, which is around 50,000 people in the past 2 years. And out of that number, 522 have passed away because of COVID. It's been hard. It's been hard. But we are at a point where places and organizations are loosening up on mask mandates. And at our last council meeting, we have gone from recommendation of for us to be wearing masks to having masks as an option. I think this is going to be the new normal. And especially around flu season, we don't even have to have COVID. But a flu season, it would be good if people would wear masks. And as I see, no one's wearing a mask this morning. Free at last, free at last. Thank God we're free at last, we can say. But yes, we have gone. But let us understand that if someone needs to wear a mask, it is okay. It is okay. And it's a safe place to wear a mask. In our bulletins, we have a number of announcements, and our schedule for Holy Week is also listed in there for you. A reminder that this is Food Shelf Month, and we are asking people to share out of their pantry non-perishable food items to be placed in a box on the top of the stairs in the entryway. Many of you, and I was hoping that all of you would have received my letter this week. I sent it out on Wednesday, thinking that Friday, Saturday, everyone would be getting a letter. But the letter itself was a communication to us all that I will be resigning or retiring at the end of May, come May. May 31st is what the projection will be. I shared that with the council on Wednesday night, and I was hoping that we all would have had that opportunity to read it before coming and hearing it here. I'm simply going to say that it's time. It's time. I've had 37 wonderful years of ministry with the Evangelical Covenant Church. I have served eight churches from rural to Chicago. I've served large churches. I've served small churches. God has blessed me over these years, and I count it a privilege to be here for my final tour, as some people would say, my final tenure. So let be in prayer, as I will be in prayer for you. As you begin a process, we begin a process. And if you have any extra boxes, we're looking for boxes. Or if anyone wants some good books, I'm downsizing my library in the office there. So we've got 2.5 months, I think. Yeah, 2.5 months yet. And I'm looking forward to these 2.5 months to be serving you and to ending strong with you. Let's worship the Lord. That's why we are here this morning. Let's stand and read responsively our call to worship. The Holy One calls us to trust and pray. God is our light and salvation, the stronghold of our lives. The Holy One calls us to take courage as we travel the path with Jesus. Teach us your ways, O God, and lead us on our journeys. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Behold the beauty of the Holy One, and bless God's holy name. Let's remain standing and sing together number 61, Praise to the Lord, the Almighty.
For he is your health and salvation. Come all who hear, now to the temple draw near. Join me in glad adoration. Praise to the Lord above all things so wondrously reigning. Sheltering and so gently sustaining. Have you not seen all that is needful has been sent by his gracious ordaining? Praise to the Lord, will work and defend you. Surely his goodness and mercy shall daily attend you. Ponder anew what the Almighty can do, if with his love he befriends you. Praise to the Lord, O let all that is in me adore. All that has life and breath now with praises before you. Gladly forever adore you.
Almighty God, we thank you for your wonderful presence with us today. We thank you that you are a God who has come and saves a people unto yourself. We thank you for your Holy Spirit who comes and draws us to you in a relationship through your Son, our Lord Jesus. And now we are here to worship you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Anoint us anew. Open our hearts and our minds to receive you, to receive your word, and to go from this place strengthened and encouraged to live the life that Jesus lived before us. It is in your name that we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Let's hear the word of the Lord as it comes to us from the Psalter as well as from the letter of Philippians.
Good morning. As Pastor mentioned, the first reading is from Psalm 27. Which in the Pew Bibles is page 416. As I looked over this beforehand, I couldn't help but think of the situation in the Ukraine. So perhaps you will also, I don't know. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? when evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his tabernacle will I sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, O Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn away your servant in anger, for you have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, O God, my Savior. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desire of my foes. For false witnesses rise up against me, breathing out violence. I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yea, wait for the Lord. The New Testament reading is Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 17 through chapter 4, verse 1, and that's on page 895 in your pew Bible. Paul is addressing the Philippian people, the Philippian church, and encouraging them and exhorting them. And he says, all of us who are mature should take such, I'm sorry, started in the wrong spot. Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. For, as I have often told you, and now say again with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. May God bless his word.
Yeah. Amen. At this time, we'll call upon our ushers to receive our morning tithes and gifts. Lord, what wonder it is to stand in your presence and to look upon your face and to meditate there of your glory and honor. As we gather in this place today, Lord, we pray that you will bless us for being here, but also bless us and bless this offering for the furtherance of your glory being proclaimed in and through this place. It is in your name we pray. Amen. Let us stand and sing the doxology together in praise to our God.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
You may be seated. Today we have JD with us, and I have been emailing back and forth with him and when he would be able to come and to be a part of our service and to share his trip down to Mexico with his father. And we kind of have left it up in the air. He was to be here this weekend because his grandparents weren't to be here. And Grandma says, don't you dare talk when we're not here. So we kind of put it on hold. Well, he's here and they're here. So I asked JD if he would be ready to share a bit, 5, 6, 7, 10, 15, 20 minutes. And he says, sure. So I did warn him that if he doesn't say too much, I'm going to call him back up and I'll have some questions for him. But I think he will do well. Come and share this wonderful trip that you took a couple weeks ago down to Mexico. And we're looking forward to hearing from you. And you can either go there or up here or stand in front. We'll want you to put a microphone on you because we've got some people who are listening online.
Howdy.
Hi.
So I got a chance to go to Reynosa, Mexico with Rio Grande Ministries to help at a children's home, orphanage, school. Yeah, that's basically it. But it was a lot of hard work in 90 degree weather, and I'm Minnesotan, so that's rough. Yeah, it was a lot of fun, though. We got to hang out with a lot of the kids and meet some really cool people, as well as play a lot of really fun games with them. One of the games that our group was known for is footy base, as the kids call it, kickball. But it was something called Canadian kickball, so it was not actual kickball rules, it's kind of like cheating. Big bases, and you can have as many people as you want on it. But that was really cool, especially to see some of the littler kids try and kick it, and then some of the kids from our group, like, miss the catch on purpose just to let them make it to the base. It's just super cool to see that. Personally, I was dead tired, so I didn't really play as much as I would have liked. But I was actually tasked with disassembling this super sketchy ropes course thing without ropes. So I'm sitting there like 50 feet in the air on a thing with no bracing, like praying wind doesn't come because I'm a fall off. But it was really cool because when I was up on top of that thing, just disassembling boards and unscrewing stuff, I was able to see like all the kids out for recess or whatever. And it was just so cool to see them, the joy that a soccer ball brings them. Just kicking a soccer ball around, playing with friends, yelling, playing on what playground equipment they do have. It was just super fun. And they had a blast. The guy, Ray, who runs the children's home, told us that the kids had a ton of fun with us because our group were ones that will actually participate and play with the kids, and they absolutely love that. So that was a ton of fun. We're also known as the Carnival Group. We do like this, almost like a trunk or treat type thing, if you know what that is. But it's just a bunch of games set up, and the kids go around, they get a piece of candy if they win a game or something like that. But on our way down, the leader of who's on our bus gets a text from Ray. Hey, would you be willing to do two carnivals? We're like, oh no, this is gonna be interesting. So she told them that we would if we had the supplies, God willing. And we had more than enough to cover the carnival, the first carnival and the second carnival. The first carnival was actually the one that we weren't supposed to do originally, but it just kind of got thrown on us. But it was more of an outreach to the community because we were trying to, there's this little church down in the area. It's like 10, 15 minutes from where we were in Reynosa. And they were just starting this church. And they had like, Ray had just put a bunch of money into it, and it was like, really nice little space. And so he was like, hey, you guys want to come help us kickstart a church? So we got a chance to do that and see even just the locals. Somebody tried to sell our bus driver a bus. but yeah, it was just, there was a ton of just different stuff. Going absolutely ballistic when one of the littler kids, like, got a ring on the ring toss thing that I was doing was so much fun, just to see, like, the delight. That was really cool. The second carnival, I didn't really participate in. I was busy disassembling a super sketchy ropes course. But I did get to see some of just, like, the bags of candy that these kids got. And, like, that's what they get in a year. Like, from our group. It's just really cool to think about that. But, yeah, I don't know. It was a ton of fun, lots of good food. Me and one of my cabin mates or bunkhouse mates, whatever, decided, oh, hey, we'll get up at 5:30 with the adults and help in the kitchen. So that was interesting. They gave us knives and told us to go to town on potatoes and all sorts of stuff. that was a ton of fun. It was a lot of hard work, even the kitchen stuff, but I'm glad that I went, and I loved every minute of it. And on the way back, well, one of the reasons we take a bus down instead of fly is because on the way back, we get, like, the sharing time to, like, say something about the trip, like, high point, low point, just tell a little bit about your experience. And we got a chance to, like, pray for one of the kids or pray for the whole ministry down there, whatever. But on the way back also, we stop at, like, these little tourist attractions. We spent a day in Texas. We went to a little town. We crossed the border on our way back. And we drove about an hour, and we crossed the border again on foot to walk into this little, like, trading town. And so we got to go buy toys and just fun stuff that we saw on our way back. I personally bought a 12-foot bullwhip and a switchblade and a couple of other stuff, but that was really cool. It was kind of sad to see... There's a lot of pollution, just litter and stuff like that. But I think it's really cool that the kids at the children's home have what they do. They are very blessed. And we are very blessed to be able to go down and help them in any way that we can. So, yeah. Oh, hey, side note. So on our way down, we get about... this is the first year that we were supposed to take two buses. We hadn't had enough kids to take two buses before. So we're about 2 hours in. We have two buses. Everything's going great. We get almost to the cities, I want to say. I don't even remember where we stopped exactly. But my buddy Julius, that I met on the bus, goes up front, and he's like, I smell burning rubber, and his seat was shaking really bad. So he walks up to the front and is telling that to them. They're like, okay, we'll stop and take a look at it. Yeah, turns out there was, like, chicken wire or something wrapped up in the tire, and it had taken the inner dually off of its rim, which was not good, for starters. And then... I guess something happened to the other side as well, so both inner dualies were off the rim, and it was just not a good situation. So they called a tow service, and they wouldn't be there for about 15 minutes, 20 minutes. So we all get on the other bus, so we're all piled on. They're like, only take the bare essentials. All the middle schoolers are on this other little bus, and they're like, go get on the bus with the middle schoolers. So... we're on the bus with the middle schoolers, we're driving, and we get a message saying that they won't be able to meet up with us. The seniors had stayed behind because they were like, oh, hey, sick, we're going to get the whole bus to ourselves for a while. Yeah, that didn't happen. They ended up getting piled into, there's two adults, and the rest were seniors, I think. But there was eight of them, and... so they had to drive the bus the rest of the way to the pastor who lent us the bus in the first place. He offered us his Chevy Suburban with a trailer for all of the cargo that was on that bus. With over 200,000 miles on a Suburban, getting 8 miles to the gallon, that's rough. And with eight people in a 9-passenger Suburban, those seniors were complaining about it the entire time. Personally, I really liked being able to go hang out with the middle schoolers just because I ended up making new friends that are younger than me and some who are my age, and it was just really cool. I guess I just had a ton of fun overall. I'm talking too much.
Well, good job. One question is that as you reflect back upon your time in Reynosa and saw the needs down there, what are some things that we can be praying for the work down there?
A big thing with that would probably be the strength to keep going in the heat.
Yeah.
For all the locals who help out there, the house parents, as well as all of the, I guess I'm a missionary, missionaries that go down and help. Yeah, that's about it.
Okay.
I think I learned something about myself down there, as well as a lot. I think I might be called to do missions. This was just an amazing experience for me, and there's nothing like it. I've never had any experience like it. So, yeah.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for sharing. And for those of you who do not know, our church had a part in sending JD down to Reynosa, and we're glad we did. We're glad we had that opportunity to do that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for opportunities you give to us to serve you. And whether it be in our backyard or traveling around the world or traveling on a bus to a place called Reynosa, Lord, you orchestrate all of this. And Father, we're not able to comprehend how you keep it all straight, and yet you do. And you put people like JD in places that where he can serve you, and where he can see you at work in hearts and lives, and especially with little children. Father, we thank you for this mission trip and for all who participated in it, and the opportunity they had to raise funds and to be able to head to Reynosa and to serve you and to serve a community through all the work that they did. We ask for your strength for those who continue the ministry there, the wisdom that it takes to start a new church, to run an orphanage, to do ministry, and to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. Bless them, O Lord, we pray. Even as they experience the heat that we as Northerners stay away from, Lord, we thank you that they have an opportunity to put their trust in you, even on hot days as well as cool days. As we think about Mexico, Lord, we think of the Christensens who are now heading down this afternoon or start the journey to their ministry spot. Father, we pray that you will bless them with journey mercies on the way down and on the way back, and as they reconnect with other missionaries, as they continue to serve in their respective places, Lord, may your light shine in them and through them, and to bring them back safely again to share what new discoveries they have made, not only in the people there, but also in what you are seeking to do in a wonderful and special place. Lord, we do continue to pray for our brothers and sisters in Ukraine. And as they journey, and whether it is a journey towards the front lines or journey towards shelters and refuges, Father, we pray that you would bless their steps, protect them, give them strength, give them wisdom. And in the midst of all of the conflict, Lord, may they know the peace that comes through Jesus Christ. Many of them are followers of you, O Lord. Many of them have placed their faith in you. And as they raise the questions, as they seek the shelter, and as they wonder what their next step, what their next breath might be, Lord, might they know the peace. We continue to pray for the leadership in our world as they seek to bring to an end this conflict. Father, we pray that the devil will not have his way in all of this, but that the kingdom of God will reign supreme, and that your sovereignty will come upon this conflict and within these nations, and that people will know, leaders will know, where to find the peace that passes all understanding. Father, we thank you for seasons in life. We thank you, O Lord, that each of us have our seasons. And we pray that you would continue to walk with us and talk with us. You would continue to be our guide and our leader. Over the years, Lord, we count it a privilege to knowing you as the one who is faithful. And even when we fall short of your glory, you are there with open arms, ready to receive us again and ready to continue to walk with us as we walk with you. Thank you, Lord, for seasons and the opportunities to love you, to serve you together. It is in your name that we pray. Amen. Amen. In preparation for our message this morning, let's turn in our hymn books to number 78 and sing of God's great and wonderful faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Number 78.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassion, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. And winter and spring, harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy and love. Great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning new mercies I see. All I have needed thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow, blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning. All I have needed thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Let's now turn in our Bibles to the Gospel according to Luke. Luke chapter 13, beginning with verse 31 and reading through the end of the chapter. At that time, some Pharisees came to Jesus and said to him, "Leave this place and go somewhere else. Herod wants to kill you." Jesus replied, "Go tell that fox, I will keep on driving out demons and healing people day and tomorrow, and on the third day I will reach my goal. In any case, I must press on today and tomorrow and the next day, for surely no prophet can die outside of Jerusalem." Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I would long to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" Have you ever met a person or worked with a person who just didn't seem to like you? For no apparent reason? What do many of us do when this happens to us? We try to be nice back to that person. We want that person to like us. We don't understand why they don't like us. And so we go out of our way to make friends with that person. But what happens in so many of these situations? So often that person who dislikes us continues to dislike us and even becomes more and more mean to us or whatever, the more we try to win their affection. This is very painful, is it not? It's very frustrating and can be very confusing. If someone is giving me a lot of attention and being nice to me, I would think that person was the greatest. I would want to become friends with that person. I would be so overwhelmed by their niceness toward me that I couldn't help but be nice back. Now, try to imagine how Jesus is feeling in this text. He has done everything to show his love unconditionally, and yet for some reason, so many don't love him back. In our gospel lesson for this morning, we see Jesus in deep sorrow over those who not only will ultimately reject him, but will put him through the most horrible of deaths. Let's read again, verse 34. "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those who were sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." Jesus' lament over Jerusalem is reminiscent of how King David mourned over the death of his son Absalom. Despite the fact that Absalom had tried to overthrow his father at a number of times, in 2 Samuel chapter 18, we see the most moving expression of a father's love for his son, despite all that his son had done. King David cried out, "Oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, if only I had died instead of you. Oh, Absalom, my son, my son." Is this not what Jesus did for those of us who are willing to believe, as well as to those who are not willing to believe? In the movie, The Passion of the Christ, one of the criminals on the cross hears Jesus pray, "Father, forgive them." At this, the criminal looks down at the high priest who represents God's chosen people and says, "Look, he's praying for you." And the high priest just turns and walks away. How many people just turn and walk away from the love of Jesus? "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem," cries the heartbroken Christ, with a yearning and with a sob. How often does our casual worldliness break our Lord's heart? And yet many people, maybe even including us, are neither aware of it or we even care. God has created us with a free will. And Jesus' willingness to gather us together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings is answered by humankind's, "I am not willing." If God forced us to love him, our love would not be real. The only real love comes from out of a relationship of a willing obedience. Jesus will not make us love him. He will not legislate our love, nor control our wills. He will not walk into our hearts without our permission. How many of us, most often in our younger years, in our young bachelor or bachelorette days, have put our love on the line, only to have that love rejected? Maybe we fell head over heels for some young woman or man who attracted our attention. It might have started with smiles in the lunch line, hellos in the hallways of school, and then the bold came where we asked to exchange telephone numbers, and then came the dates. And then the overbearingly mushy stuff begins, say, on a park bench in the middle of the campus on Valentine's Day, nevertheless. We nauseatingly pour out our hearts in a speech that rivals a Shakespearean sonnet. It probably makes us gay to think about it now, but it was not to be. We got the drift eventually. She or he was never home when we called. We never passed each other in the hallway anymore. Word got back to us that this person was dating someone else. Unrequited love for a young person is as close to the end of the world as one may ever come. Now, Jesus' desire for us, no doubt, is a lot different than this. But it is similar in this regard. Jesus is willing to humble himself, to make himself vulnerable in order to get our attention. He likens himself to a hen. Out of all the animals that Jesus could have chosen as a metaphor for himself, he chooses a hen. He could have chosen the powerful eagle in the book of Exodus. "I bore you on eagle's wings." God is likened to a lion in the book of Hosea. But a hen? What kind of a chance is a hen going to have against the likes of such a fox, such as Herod? Some Pharisees warned Jesus that very morning that Herod was out to kill him. No surprise here, Herod was a deadly enemy. Herod of Antipas, son of Herod the Great, wanted his father's title, King of the Jews. But the Romans had not yet bestowed it upon him. Herod wasn't real confident in his power, and he presided over a court that was full of corruption. Herod had already chopped off the head of John the Baptist at a wild party. A hen's head? not worth much. Put it on a chopping block and be done with all this squawking about salvation and love and peace and poor people. How annoying, Herod might have thought. In verses 31 and 32, Jesus responds. At that time, some Pharisees came to Jesus and said to him, "Leave this place and go somewhere else. Herod wants to kill you." His reply was this, "Go tell that fox, I will drive out demons and heal people today and tomorrow, and on the third day I will reach my goal." Calling Herod a fox was a dangerous insult, since foxes were considered to be creatures of vulgar cunning and craftiness. In any event, Jesus' reply was a sign of Jesus' courage. No Herod or host of demons could stop him from doing what he came to do. And no Herod or host of demons could stop Jesus from loving humankind so much that he was willingly going to the cross, pay a death penalty for sin, so that any person who is willing can and be forgiven. Born again, made anew, given new life. Jesus called Herod a fox, and foxes were always had a certain allure over God's creatures in this or in any century. They might not be as bizarre or murderous as Herod, but foxes still woo away the hearts of those whom God loves. And the thing is, Jesus will not force us from deciding to follow the fox. Jesus can walk on water, raise the dead, but he will not force us to love him. He will not stop us from slamming the door on his face as we go out into the darkness, defenseless against the many Herods that are waiting in the shadows. One of the hardest things in life is loving someone who is not willing to love us back. So what is Jesus' plan? What's he going to do now? Amazingly, his plan is to keep offering the love of a mother hen, keep spreading his wings. He will offer his life on our behalf. He will follow us into the darkness we have chosen for ourselves over and over again. But there will be a time that it will be too late for us to come to him. And if we look closely at Jesus hanging on the cross, his arms outstretched, the span of his reach on that wood will begin to resemble the loving wings of a mother hen, gathering up her chicks in a love that doesn't make sense but breaks our hearts if we look long enough. Jesus doesn't count on the world ever seeing or understanding his love. And even as he hangs there with hands nailed to a tree, he will not make us love him. He will not make us accept his love, but his desire for us is to run and be gathered under his wings. How often I have longed to gather your children together, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. May we hear the heartbeat of Jesus' love for us all. May we feel the pain of his sorrow as he is rejected again and again. And may we come running to the open arms of Jesus as he seeks to gather all who run toward him, looking for his protection and life itself. This morning, which way are you running? Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for your love demonstrated to us in that while we were yet sinners, you sent your Son to live and to die. A death, a suffering and death that knows no other. And yet he died in our place. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your sacrifice offered to all humanity, and that to anyone who puts their trust in you would no longer know death, but would know life and life eternal. May we find ourselves willingly running toward you every day of our lives, and finding our shelter, finding our protection, finding true life, finding peace, and all that you offer under the wings of the Almighty Savior. Thank you, Lord, for your provision, your faithfulness. It is in your name that we pray. Amen and amen. There's a wonderful song out of our own covenant tradition found on page 80 in our hymn books. Thy holy wings, dear Savior. Let's stand and sing together.
Thy holy wings, dear Savior, spread it gently over me, and through the long night watches, I'll rest secure in thee. Whatever may betide me, be thou my hiding place. Each day, Lord, by thy grace, thy pardon, Savior, grant me, and cleanse me in thy blood. Give me a willing spirit, a heart both clean and good. Oh, take into thy keeping the children great and small, and while we sweetly slumber, enfold us one by one.
God loves you, and he loves you this much. As he spreads his wings, as he spreads his arms out on a cross to die for you, on the third day, he rose again, and now he leads a mighty procession of all the people who put their trust in him, a procession into the very union of God himself, and ultimately finding a place in the universe we call heaven for all eternity. God loves you and desires you to love him in return. May God give us the strength and the love that we need to be able to return that love back to him. For God's glory and for neighbor's good, we pray. Amen. Let's sing together the God's blessings to each other.
Lord, make his face to shine upon you and be gracious, gracious, gracious to you.